All right, guys, grab a seat, and thanks so much for being here tonight. We just wrapped up a series called Splinters of Doubt. We've been navigating doubts that we have in our minds. We're beginning a series tonight called My Story, and I have the pleasure, the honor, the privilege, the joy to introduce my brother, my friend, Drew Reynolds is in the house tonight. Drew, I noticed you brought a posse. I saw your brother KJ all the way in the back here from USC Gamecock Country. Way to go, man. Hey, rocking a top messy man bun, I guess that's
different
what you call
day.
It. I don't know what it's called. And then Evie, yes, I'm getting around to Evie. I don't know if you were saying, hey, I'm here too, or I did KJ's hair. Okay, yes. But your sister Evie's here, and I saw your mom, Sandy. So, yo, oh, there she is. Oh, my gosh, I love Sandy so much. Anyway, man, Drew was a student of ours a couple years ago, graduated, went to college, NGU.
That's right.
Yeah, go Let's Crusaders.
Go. Yeah.
We've got to change that name, man. We got to do something other than that. But anyway, Drew is going to start our series, this new series called My Story. He's going to start it off for us tonight. The reality is we all have a story. We all have a journey.
Yeah.
And when it comes to our walk with Jesus, sometimes we can fall into ruts that's like, man, I don't have a story. I don't have a journey. I either grew up in the church or I've done something so shameful I can't talk about it. And the reality is God redeems everything for his glory and his kingdom, and we all have a story. And Drew is going to kick us off in our brand new series tonight called My Story. So he's a former student, sophomore in college right now. You're killing it, man.
Sure, sophomore.
Killing
we'll
the game.
That.
Senior in college right now.
Nope.
Dude, we miss you. I miss you. I can't wait to hear what you're going to share tonight. So hopefully you share. I've got some things in mind that I hope you share. I don't know what he's, we've talked, but I don't know. But I've got some things I'm like, oh, I hope he talks about that. And if you don't, then I'm just going to like come up after you and tell all your dirt, man. So anyway, yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, bro. Hey, we love you, man.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Dude, we're excited. Guys, let's welcome Drew Reynolds to our family tonight, FG students. Yeah, man.
Well, good evening. Thank you. All right. Trace, what's up, man? Like he said, I'm Drew. I am a junior in college, not a sophomore or a senior. I'm like maybe a second semester junior. I don't know. I'll have to look at my transcript. Probably should look at that. But anyway, when you get to college, look at your transcript. It helps you out. Have a good night. Just kidding. So I have two siblings. And actually, I do have a wife and kids. Scott, did you get that picture I sent you? Did you get that picture? You didn't get the picture I sent? Just kidding, I don't have a wife and kids. I'm a junior in college. Not that it's bad to be married. Anyway. Matt does. Matt does. Please don't put Matt's family on the screen. That's weird. Yes. Yeah, of course. But I do have siblings. My sister, Evie, she is the best. When I grow up, I'm going to be like her. Everybody, look at Evie. That's the person I want to be when I grow up. She's awesome. Great dancer, super talented. Yep. KJ, he's 18. If I could be half as good looking as he is, man, that'd be awesome. Because that dude just got it going. Trevor Lawrence hair, all that stuff. Plays drums at USC. Just a total baller. All the thanks, man. Love you, bro. And my mom is the best. She does not like to be called out. So I won't make everyone look at her, but she is awesome. My dad lives in Charlotte. It's actually part of my story. And I'll get to that in a second. But tonight, I'm going to be talking to you all about cleanliness. And you might think and look with me like, bro, cleanliness, really? I know I've been trying to stay clean. I don't want to get COVID. I know I got to wear a mask sometimes. I know I got to put on sanitizer. I don't even know what else y'all got to do at school. I know that we have to sit 6 feet apart in chapel. Like, we should just do all online chapel. But it's whatever. Why are we talking about cleanliness tonight? I've heard it all year. I've heard about cleanliness all year. Well, I'm not going to give you a speech, a TED talk on how we need to, you know, wear masks or anything like that. I'm not going to be talking about that kind of cleanliness. In fact, tonight I'm going to be talking about inward cleanliness. I'm going to be talking about the heart. That's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. If you would turn with me to Matthew 23, we're going to be looking at verses 25 and 26. Eventually, maybe just put like your finger on it, put one of those notebook things that you have on your Bible there. We will get to that shortly. But first, I want to share my story, my testimony with you all tonight. So I was born in Syracuse, New York. Sweet. One person. Let's go. Go Orange. We lost to Clemson a couple weeks ago. It's all good. We're terrible at football, so that's great too. But yeah, so I was born in Syracuse. Some of that northern mindset stuck with me. I don't like sweet tea. Okay. I don't like grits. Okay, okay. What else do I not like? Clemson? Okay. Yeah, go orange for life. Yes, yeah, so I was born in Syracuse. We moved down when I was actually pretty young. My brother was born in Columbia. My sister was born in Greenville. And at 5 years old, there was this little book. And John Smoltz, anybody? John Smoltz? Like three people. He was a Braves pitcher, not way back in the day, but a while ago. And he actually wrote the foreword for this book. And the book was a Christian book. And I was a big Braves fan. Any Braves fans? Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. This is the place to be. Chop on forever. Tough series, but it's all good. Next year. I was a big Braves fan at the time. And I was like, John Smoltz, he's a great pitcher. I love him. I've got to read this book. I'm totally going to do it. So I read this book, and in the back, there was this like first base, second base, third base, home, kind of like salvation steps. Like you read first base, and it's like repent of your sins. Second base is like pray and ask God and all those things. And it kind of like guided you in a prayer for salvation. So when I was 5 years old, I prayed that prayer with my grandmother. But I didn't feel like I was saved for like about 5 years. On, I would just kept praying that prayer, and I'd ask my mom, I'd ask my grandma, like, am I saved? Do I need to pray the prayer again? Oh my gosh, I just lied. Do I need to pray the prayer again? And that was how my life was for about 5 years. And in Christmas time of 2008, my dad actually left. So my parents, they were fighting a lot when I was younger, but I don't remember all of it. But I do remember him leaving Christmas time 2008. I actually didn't see him for 2 years after that. There wasn't an immediate effect on my life because of that. It wasn't immediate. I didn't really think through all the implications of having your dad leave when you're 8 years old. Because I was 8 years old, I just couldn't really think about all that was happening. But there are so many effects to that, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later. So when I was younger, and you can also ask my mom on this, I was already a naturally angry person. I would have outbursts of anger. And just rage, like I would come out of nowhere. And it's like, dude, why are you so mad right now? Like, she stepped on your toe, like, bro. It's not a big deal. But I would just get really angry all of a sudden. And in elementary school, I didn't see my dad much at this time. But when I got to middle school, I started looking at pornography. And before I move on, I want to put a pin in that and say, if anybody here is struggling with that, struggling with pornography, please talk to somebody about it. The worst thing you can do is not tell somebody. The worst thing you can do is try to bottle that in and think you can carry that burden yourself. If we are a body of Christ, we're meant to carry each other's burdens. And I would encourage you that if you are struggling with that, please talk to somebody. Talk to your small group leader. Talk to Matt. I know that I did. Talk to somebody about it. Now back to my story. Again, I'm in middle school, so a lot of things are happening to my body. I'm like, what is that on my armpit? Is that hair? It is. Oh my gosh. If you remember, my dad wasn't around. Thanks for laughing, JJ. my dad wasn't around, so I didn't really have somebody to guide me through. You know, I didn't have somebody really to ask questions like, hey, what am I seeing on this screen right now? I didn't have somebody to ask these questions, so I'm trying to figure it all out myself in middle school. Trying to figure it out yourself, especially in middle school, when your brain is working 1,000 miles per hour in all the wrong ways, not it. Not it for sure. So I would still come to church. Actually, I came to this church my whole life, basically. I was pretty active in the middle school. They called it Merge back then. Let's go. And yeah, so I was pretty active in Merge, but inwardly, I was fighting that addiction, really, to pornography. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I was an angry person. I would have outbursts of anger, whether that be, I played soccer, I think my seventh grade year of middle school. I was terrible. But I love soccer. But like I would just have fits of outbursts, and people are like, dude, what is going on with you? So again, pornography and anger are just starting to become staples of kind of who I was on the inside. So early high school, I started to listen to bad music. And I'm not sitting here saying, like, if you listen to rap, you're like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, that was all I was listening to. I was constantly consuming bad music, music with explicit lyrics. Once in a while, okay. But if you're continually doing that, I mean, it had such an effect on the way that I thought about the world and the way that I thought about what I was looking at behind closed doors. I also started to watch some TV shows that weren't glorifying to God. They made me think about things in the wrong way. That was the life that I was living. And yet on the outside, I was playing bass. I was trying to be active in youth group. I would even try to say the right things in small group. But on the inside, I was looking at pornography. I was struggling with anger. I was listening to terrible music. That's what I was doing. That was my inside. That's who I was. I started to understand, like, wait, I didn't have a dad growing up. And I was trying to, like, find my approval in anything I could get it from, because I didn't get it from my dad. So I was like, oh, man, maybe it's going to be basketball. So I started playing basketball. And when I would miss a shot or something, I would get so angry. I was like, why is this not working? Why is this not satisfying me? I would talk to girls, and she'd reject me, and I'd be like, why is this not satisfying me? I would look at pornography, and I'd be like, why is this not satisfying me? Why is this not satisfying me? I was desperate for approval. That's all I wanted, was just somebody to be like, hey, man, I love you. And even when somebody did say that, it wasn't enough. Because human approval is not enough. And again, the anger, it came out when I was playing basketball. So often, I think I have a record for, like, technical fouls or something. I don't know. But seriously, like, I would get angry a lot. I would get ejected from games. And this played out at home, too. I know KJ and I got into it a lot. I mean, no lie. And mom and I got into it a lot. And my anger was violent. It was just not good. I would hit doors. Not normal stuff. Because I was so angry that nobody would approve of me. Nobody would accept me. And I felt like I couldn't be myself because inwardly, I was looking at stuff I shouldn't have been looking at. I was thinking things. I searched for approval in different groups. There were lots of things that I did throughout high school. I was homeschooled. I went to a co-op and I did theater. So I would, like, try to be, like, cool and, like, happy and funny for the theater people. And then, like, basketball, I was like, I got to be the big tough guy and, like, shoot all the threes and get all the rebounds and get all the fouls too, because I'm like that. And then, like, church, obviously, I'd be like, okay, I need to, like, be, like, smart and talk about the Bible and stuff. So, yeah. And then I worked at Publix. So I was like, I got to be the nice cashier and bagger for all the old ladies that come in so they'll give me a tip. Actually, you can't take tips at Publix, so. Yeah, I never did that. So again, like I mentioned, I did theater, so I knew how to act around people. I knew how to put on a front so people wouldn't know what was going on inside, so that people wouldn't know how angry I was, so that people didn't know what I was looking at. I was good at putting on that front. I was really good at it. And my parents, actually, they did finally get divorced in 2015. And I want to put a pin in that and say, if you have gone through that, I'm so sorry. Please talk to somebody about that. To be brutally honest with you, I didn't process that until, like, or start processing that until right about a couple months ago. I didn't think about it. I chose to just push it away. And I'm starting to realize, well, where's my anger been coming from? Oh, that. So I urge you, please, don't be dealing with it when you're 20 like me. Take care of it now. Talk to people now. I'm serious. After that happened, that's when I started to actually dive into some drinking and some drugs. And with what had happened with my family, I cannot believe I did that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, that's part of my life. And I think the reason I did those things One was because I wanted approval from the people that were doing those things. So I was like, yeah, I'll drink so I can be accepted by those people. And also, I was trying to cope with my parents' divorce. That's what I'm saying. Please work through it now. Because if you don't work through it, you're going to run to other things. That's how our sinful hearts work. That's how our dirty hearts work. So the summer of my junior year of high school, juniors in high school, anybody? Sweet, cool, sweet. You can be happy about that. It's not a bad year. But the summer after my junior year was probably the worst, to be honest. I actually went on a missions trip to India, and then a month later, I was drinking and smoking. You know, I was putting on that front for all those people that I was with in India, but internally, I was still looking at stuff that I'd started looking at in sixth grade. I was still angry. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was living a double life, really. That's what I was doing. Internally, I was dead. I was sinful. I was rotten. But I would put on a front for people. So at the end... the end of my junior year, or several junior year, my mom actually found out some of the stuff that I was doing, and I had a conversation with her. My dad actually drove down from Charlotte. Matty D was there. A guy named Chasen was there. Both Matty D and Chasen were kind of people that I look up to a lot, and it was kind of like an intervention, like, hey, man, like, we kind of know what you're doing. You need to stop kind of thing. And that got the wheels turning in my brain. It really did. There was Epic that year, and Epic was like, oh, man, I've been missing on this Jesus thing. I really have been faking it. And senior year, to be honest, I was really in and out. Like, I'd be, like, doing pretty good for a week, and then I would fall back into the old habits of looking at stuff. I'd fall back into the old habits of anger on the basketball court. Praise God, I haven't touched alcohol since that intervention time with Matt and my mom and all them, which is God's grace alone. Praise him for that. But the fact of the matter is my senior year was in and out, up and down. But there was still that rottenness inside. And to be honest, it came to a point where I posted a video on my Finsta. Do you all know what a Finsta is? Okay. Matt, you know what a Finsta is? Yeah, I did. I don't know the name of it. Don't look it up. Please don't. Anyway, yeah, so I had a Finsta. And if this isn't like a representation of what I'm talking about tonight, I don't know what is. So you have your Instagram account, your main Instagram account, where you post all your cute pics with your friends, right? And that's what JJ does. I've seen his post. Yeah, so you have your main Instagram account, right? And this was a thing a couple years ago, so if y'all don't know, it's fine. But, and then you have like your fake Instagram account where you post your actual stuff. Like you might post memes that you don't want all the people on your main Instagram account to see, or you might like say something on your Finsta that you don't want other people to see. And I posted something on my Finsta about somebody else that I should not have done. And that person found out about it, and it kind of got brought to the co-op that I was a part of. And, I was kicked off a leadership team I was on at the co-op. I was actually suspended from school and theater practice, rehearsal, for a couple days. And it kind of just hit me. I was like, okay, I can't keep living this double life anymore. Like, people are finding out that I'm actually a rotten person. I can't keep being this great stud senior guy anymore. I'm not that. I'm dirty. I'm rotten. That's who I am. Inwardly. And Matty D actually spoke a sermon. It was April 8th, my friend Joe Lady's birthday, actually. He spoke on Matthew 23, which is actually the text that I'm going to be speaking on tonight. And he said, like, he basically called us out for being hypocrites. And I was like, that's me. I am a hypocrite. I've been living this double life. I need to change. And I do believe that was the Spirit working in my life. And I can say that since then that there has been a change. Again, all due to Christ. Not Drew Reynolds. All Christ. But there has been a change. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, once Christ moves on your life, everything's going to be butterflies and roses and all the cute stuff, lollipops. Not going to happen, okay? But you have Christ. You have Christ. And that changes things. It really does. So, in college, right now, I am a junior by the grace of God. I've been pursuing him, I can say strongly for, I guess, since the end of my senior year of high school. And again, like I said, there's been ups and downs. There's an ups and downs. But the root problem of my heart being dirty, I truly believe has been cleansed. And again, stuff creeps in. Sin creeps in. I have to continually fight it. It's a daily thing, denying yourself. It's a daily thing, denying yourself. It's not just a one-time thing where you're like, I'm going to wake up today, deny myself, and then I'm good for about a couple months. Not how it works. Every single day, you have to deny yourself, deny your selfish desires, and pursue Christ. I have to. We all have to. So, if you look with me at the Word of God, Matthew 23, verses 25 through 26. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean." Now, to set some context for this passage, Jesus is prescribing seven woes to the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm going to do it, woes, okay? Get it out of the way. Seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees. Essentially, if I can put it in middle school terms, he's roasting them. He's roasting the Pharisees. That's what he's doing. He's calling them out. He's saying, hey, you're hypocrites. He literally says, Jesus says, verse 3, "For they preach but do not practice." Because the Pharisees are trying to get these people to obey all these laws, right? You know, if your robe isn't this length, it's this length, you're wrong, you're a sinner, you need to go repent. Those are the kind of rules they're trying to enforce on the people. And Jesus is like, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup. You worry about the outside of the cup." He said, "But inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." So these Pharisees, they're full of selfish desires. They're full of selfish desires. That's what they're full of. He says, "You blind Pharisees." He calls them blind. Jesus was a great guy. He was awesome. But he doesn't mince words here. "You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean." Matthew 15, 18, you do not have to turn there. Also, Jesus says, he says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles the person." So we see here that Jesus is focused on the heart. He's focused on inward cleanliness. He's focused on inward cleanliness. Did you all get that? Inward cleanliness. He's not worried about the external necessarily. He's saying, I worry about the heart. These Pharisees, they worry about the external. He mentions earlier about tithing. He says, "For you tithe mint and dill and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness," from the heart. Jesus cares about the heart. If you want to write that down, if you're taking notes, write that down. Jesus cares about the heart. So, if you'll just think with me for a second, look at this cup. It's a nice little cup, right? It's gold, looks nice on the outside, it's clean, right? Right, wouldn't you say, looks nice? Do you think this is a nice cup?
For sure.
Jesse, you think this is a nice cup? Yeah, great cup, right? Look at the inside. Everybody see that? Really nice on the outside, dirty on the inside. So if I was going to take some water and pour it into this cup, what do you think would overflow? What do you think would overflow? Y'all want to drink that? Did you just raise your hand? Nah, I'm good. I don't want to get in trouble. Do y'all want to drink that? Now think with me for a second. That's the dirty cup. We might try to clean the outside, make it look good, right? Okay, we got some dirt here, gotta clean that up. I have white shirt, so I'm gonna use my jeans. Like, okay, now it looks good, right? But still, the inside, dirty. Dirty. And the overflow is dirty, right? But this cup, also a nice cup on the outside, right? Looks great. Nice cup. No dirt in it. It's clean. Would y'all rather drink that? Yeah, me too. It's good. Way better than that, what that would be. Right? Out of an overflow of the cleanliness of the inside comes clean water flowing out. Out of an overflow of the dirty water on the inside comes dirty overflow. And I ask you today, tonight, rather, which cup are you? Search your heart. Search your heart. Are you this cup? Are you clean on the inside? Do you have a good relationship with the Lord? Are you pursuing Him daily? Are you seeking His word? Are you asking Him to help you find sin? And are you asking Him to help you take it away? And out of your heart, out of the cleanliness of your heart, good actions flow, clean actions flow. Is that you today? Examine your heart. Or is this you today? Are you clean on the outside? Have you been trying? Maybe it's all year. Maybe it's on social media. Have you been trying to put on a front for people? Maybe people look at you and say, hey, I'm great. I'm doing awesome. But on the inside, this is you. Is this you tonight? And there's going to come a point when you can't stay clean on the outside. It's going to boil over. And that's what's going to come out. Is this you today? Are you dirty on the inside? Is this you? I ask you tonight, search your heart. If this is you, the clean cup, be encouraged. As I said earlier, Christ cares about the heart. He is for you. He's not against you. That's what He desires, is cleanliness, inward cleanliness. Be encouraged if that's you. If this is you tonight, if you are trying to be clean on the outside, but on the inside you're dirty. On the inside you're looking at stuff you know you shouldn't look at. On the inside you're saying stuff to your group of friends you know you shouldn't say. On the inside you're talking to people you know you shouldn't talk to. On the inside you're doing things behind your parents' back, behind your pastor's back that you know you shouldn't do. But you're trying to look good on the outside. If this is you today, be encouraged. Be encouraged because Jesus is capable of cleaning our hearts. We cannot clean our own hearts. I could not clean my own heart. You cannot clean your own heart. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. No matter what you think is going to work to clean your heart, it's not going to work. Only Christ can clean your heart. Only Christ. So I urge you today, if this is you, if your relationship with your girlfriend or your boyfriend behind closed doors is not pure, but you front on the outside like it is, if you're doing stuff on the weekends and then going to church, and this is you, be encouraged. Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. It says in Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Let me tell you, if this is you, if you are like this, I can guarantee you that you're tired of trying to clean the outside continually while the dirt keeps flowing out. It's impossible to keep doing that. I'm sure you're tired of it. Well, stop trying. Stop trying. Come to Christ. It says He's gentle and lowly at heart. He's compassionate. That's who He is. That's who Jesus is. He's compassionate. He wants you. He desires you to bring the brokenness to him. He's not turned off by your sin. He wants you to go to him. And also, if tonight you're kind of like, why is this dude so fired up about Jesus? Who is Jesus? Why am I at church? If that's you tonight, and you're wondering, why should I even be worried about cleanliness? I don't really even care about this whole Jesus thing. I have some good news, some really bad news, and then the best news ever. The good news is that God created a perfect world. A perfect world. And he created humans to live in that perfect world with him. Adam and Eve in the garden, just chilling, hanging out with God. Just cooling, drinking sodas. Probably not, but hey, hanging out with God, right? God said, hey, Adam and Eve, there's one thing I don't want you to do. It's not to eat of that tree. Adam and Eve ate out of the tree. And because of that disobedience to God, all of humanity is now separate from God. This is humanity. This is God. We're separate from God. God can't be around sin. God can't be around disobedience. So we're separate from him. And that's why we see all the brokenness in the world today. That's why people are being trafficked. That's why people are looking at stuff. That's why people are being paid to be on pornography sites. That's why we see so much brokenness. That's why divorce happens. Because of sin. All of the problems are because of sin. And that's bad news, right? The best news ever is that God did not intend for people to stay separate from God because of sin. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for sin and be raised again 3 days later to conquer death so that all who believe in Jesus can be saved from sin and death and live eternally with God. That is the gospel. And if you tonight, that's the first time maybe you heard that, maybe it's the second time, maybe it's just hitting you in a new way, I encourage you, don't leave tonight without having a conversation with somebody. Talk to Matt, talk to your small group leader, talk to me. Have a conversation with somebody about Jesus. And I just pray, if this is you, be encouraged. If this is you, turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. And if you're an unbeliever, I pray that you would believe in Christ. Now, will you pray with me? God, we are so, so, so grateful and thankful that we can come and talk about you and worship you, God. We thank you for just who you are. God, we thank you that you did create us, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your son, Jesus, to rescue us from sin. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to live that perfect life that he did and dying on the cross for our sin. And I pray, God, if there be people in this room tonight, Lord, that are clean on the inside, God, would you just be with them and help them continue in that, to persevere, God. And I pray if there's people that are outwardly trying so hard to be clean, but on the inside are dirty, God, would you be with them? Would you convict them of their sin, Lord, and help them turn to you, God? And I pray that if there's someone in this room that does not believe, God, would tonight be their night that they would believe for the first time, Lord. We are grateful for who you are, and we thank you for who you are. It's your name we pray, amen.